Morning, everyone. You guys can hear me? Okay, morning, everyone. Let's give a round of applause to our young worship team. And today is Mission Sunday, so please keep your hands free because we're going to have a lot of applauses to do, okay? So good morning, everyone. Good morning, Woodbridge Community Church. My name is Sunny Talry. I'm the Missions Committee Chairman. If this is your first time to Woodbridge Community Church, we welcome you. This church is a mission-oriented and supported church and supports over 32 missionaries around the world. Today, as you entered, where's my booklet? Entered the church, you were given a missionary's prayer call-out book that contains some of our missionaries and their prayer requests. I pray and request that you take this booklet home and pray for these missionaries who are fighting the daily battles and still reaching out to the unreached with the gospel. Pray for their families, pray for their ministries, pray for their needs. Pray that God gives them strength in their times of despair and that he gives them sound mind and wisdom to continue to preach the gospel. Even if this is not your home church, please take the booklet and say a prayer for these missionaries. As you can see, some of our missionaries are wearing lays over here. Justin, I don't see you wearing one, so let me give you one, pink or blue. You pick. Okay, you know what? I'll wear one just to blend with them. There you go. After service, we will have lunch provided in Building B. Please join us to meet and greet our missionaries at lunch today. Today's lunch is a hospitality from the Medidas and the Gumala's family, so it's going to be Indian food. So if you really love Indian food, please join us in Building B and you can have lunch with our missionaries. So we have a very diverse group of missionaries whose main focus groups are unreached regions of the world. We have few local missionaries who are church planters and some who are working in colleges and universities with local and foreign students. As you can see, Allison is one of our homegrown missionary right now serving in Albania. We support missionaries who are working directly with local churches in other countries, training, supporting, and equipping them with necessary resources. Our main focus is on the 10 by 40 window. We support missionaries in Europe, Africa, North America, and different parts of Asia. We support missionaries serving in Europe among the refugees in the harshest of conditions of Ukraine. As you know, there's ongoing war over there and in some undisclosed locations of the world, which I cannot take names for security purposes, and they are reaching and preaching the gospel to the unreached. These I call them as frontline warriors of Christ, doing his work, diligently facing many hardships. Last few weeks, we went through a series called Relationships in Hurting Times, and we heard Pastor Frank last week talk about the Israel and Hamas ongoing war. When you look at the current situation in the world, we need more of these missionaries to reach out, to bring the good news of gospel and hope in their lives. Post-pandemic and the wars around the world has made the mission work difficult for our missionaries, but God has always opened new doors for these missionaries even during this time. Some of them don't even care for their own health and continue to serve the people. Following the call of Jesus entails application, and folks who really embody the spirit of following Christ's command regarding spreading the word to others. They sacrifice so much of their time, effort, finance, comforts, and even their lives, and yet they very often are forgotten faces of our church family. Woodbridge has spent all 50 years of its existence putting a focus on supporting the missionaries out in the field, and yet very few people know who we are supporting or what they do. Even few yet understand just how little support these people get from the standpoint of financial assistance. We'd like to take this time to shine the light on some of these individuals in order to honor, in order to show you that they are very much real people, just like you and me. Their joy comes from serving the Lord in ways that most of us would not dare attempt to do. But their struggles are sometimes very different from our struggles. The Gospel, Mark says this, chapter 13, verse 10, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. As part of this awareness of our missionaries and what they do, I have today few missionaries. As you can see, there are some chairs over here, empty chairs. You must be like, what is he doing with these empty chairs? Right? No, I'll be calling few missionaries come to be part of this Mission Sunday. So I'll be calling few of them on stage so you can hear from their own words on how God is working in their ministry. So it's going to be less of me talking today and more of the missionaries. So at this time, I would like to invite Trevor from HHI. Let me go ahead and invite Trevor, okay? Trevor has requested to withhold his last name and organization for security purposes. Push it over there. HHI is a ministry serving the people of South Asia, working primarily through national leaders. They provide training and encouragement to leaders as they engage in evangelism, church planting, and they provide resources to meet physical need. Trevor, you can take a seat. Trevor, I have a question for you. Where do you see God at work in your ministry?
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to share with you all this morning. God is at work in South Asia in a lot of different ways, but we are seeing it through the investment made in national leaders, men and women, who we are able to invest in through training and equipping. And they are able to take what we are sharing with them, whether it is Bible training or any kind of vocational training that we might provide, and go back to their home villages and be able to engage in outreach, whether it's missions, church planting, evangelism, any of those areas that they can invest in, we're seeing them go back to their community. So it looks like this, where we would bring them together, we equip them and train them, and since the pandemic, thankfully, we've been able to go back in person and do this and work with our partnerships there, and we invest in the people in their communities. We get to see their faces, interact with them, and then ultimately send them back to their home villages. And many of them are reaching unreached people groups themselves. So we hear the stories. We hear the encouragement from them about what God is doing. And then we get to share that, of course, with you. So what we're here to tell you this morning is unreached people groups are being reached through these nationals. Men and women who are doing the work. And amen. I'm so encouraged to be able to tell you that today because through our ministry, and we've been in ministry around for less than 20 years now, but we've seen well over 500 of these national leaders go back to their villages and do the work. And these men are committed, and in many cases their wives too, are committed with them to go back to these areas and reach these people. And we're so encouraged because that's continuing. It's continued to perpetually go forward. Since the pandemic, we've had another 100+ men who've gone through training with us and have been sent back out. Not to mention the women, many cases are leaders in the churches too, and they're going back into their communities and reaching out where the needs are. And so we're here to be the conduit to explain to you and share with you, God is at work through these people in areas that we can't go, but that God has people already primed and ready to go. That is His work, and we're so happy to be a part of that.
So, Trevor, how do you want us to pray for you today?
Well, for our ministry in areas that are closed to outside mission work, we are ultimately praying that God will continue to raise up these leaders. We want to see more and more of them being invested and called out to go and do the work. And we'll partner with them. We'll stand with them. Mm-hmm. And we will go and we will send them back to their villages. But we're asking God to provide more of those people, men and women who we know He is calling and encouraging to go back to their people groups.
Do you have any testimonies you want to share with?
Well, one quick testimony I can share, and thank you for the opportunity to do this. We met this man whose name is Pastor Tech, and that's all I can tell you this morning. But Pastor Tech is in a country in South Asia, and he is living in a rural area himself. And Pastor Tech speaks the local language, so he's not waiting to go through a process of learning the language. He was already faithfully serving, and he recently joined in our pastor training program, and his eyes were open to so many potential opportunities for him to do ministry. He wants to be grounded in Scripture. He echoes a voice that we've heard over and over again. I want to be grounded in Scripture so that I can be effective in my ministry. Many people are called. Many people have excitement and zeal for God, And that's great. But the ones who are adding to that, this grounding in God's word and an understanding of what God's calling really means to them, and then to watch them go. And so we've already seen pictures from Pastor Tech going out into the villages. He's not waiting to be pushed or encouraged or anything. He's already doing it. And he's seeing fruit from this. And that is so encouraging to hear. He's one of many like him who are doing that work. And we get to stand beside them, arm in arm, as they are going back to these unreached people groups that are in desperate need of the gospel.
Thank you, Trevor. Our next guest today is pretty close to my heart. This is Joni. She's coming from the Gospel Torch Charitable Mission that was founded 30 years ago by Pastor Joseph Moses and his wife Annie Moses, with the vision and mission of reaching the unreached primitive tribal people groups in the mountain ranges of the states of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana in South India, where witchcraft, adultery, and polygamy are few of the many very common practices, and where thousands have never ever heard the name of Jesus ever in their lifetime. They have been actively spreading the gospel among the mountain tribes called Kodu and Bagata and Valmiki, Savara, Koya, and Banjara. Started as a small house church, now they are a team of about 40 tribal pastors vigorously reaching them not only with the gospel of Christ, but also teaching them civilization and basic moral and social values, which are completely lacking in these regions. The Tribal Children Care Center in Vijayawada now has 32 young tribal boys that are loved and provided with good spiritual care, education, clothing, shelter, and medical and dental care. After the passing of their father, Pastor Joseph Moses, in 2021, his wife Annie Joseph and daughter Joni Summer are continuing the very challenging multifold ministry. Let's invite Joni. Hello, Julie. You can take a seat. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Anya.
So where do you see God at work in your ministry today?
First of all, I would like to thank you for this opportunity and this honor. My father was here, and it feels so good for me to be here, too. According to the Bible, you either go or you send to the unreached. And we're going, but you're all sending us. So thank you to the Woodbridge Community Church. As you know, our vision is to reach the unreached tribal people groups in India with the good news of Christ. And the works we do include gospel outreach meetings, church planting, church building, tribal missionary training, tribal children care center. The idea in the beginning was a small house church when I was just a few months old. But the Lord gave this mission, this vision, and this burden to us, to our family, through my parents, to us, to me too, to reach these people with the gospel of Christ. And it was just, the idea was just a church, small church, but when we had this vision, when we submitted our lives to this tribal ministry especially, because these areas are sometimes can be challenging, sometimes can be dangerous because of some kind of social, anti-social activities that I cannot mention here, but so there's never a stop button, there's never a pause button in this ministry when you're submitted to God's will. And after my father's passing, we just did not have any second thoughts. All the ministry is continuing, the boys' ministry, the tribal ministry, the pastors, it's all continuing. We see the Lord at work. We're so grateful for his faithfulness, and I enjoy it. I enjoy doing this work. It is my life's passion. I don't feel like I'm missing out on something because I think this is the Lord that put this in my heart. It's not even me. So it doesn't matter. I know it's really difficult without my father because it's not just one church. It's a whole tribal ministry. But still, it really does not matter whether a person is present or absent because this is the Lord's work and he is faithful and just and he is taking care of the ministry it needs. So in the past 2 years, especially after my dad's passing, we built 6 new churches in the tribal area. We have a team of 40 tribal pastors. And new pastors have been adding up ever since. New boys have been adding up into the children care center. Before my dad's passing, there were only about 22 boys, and now there are 32 boys. They're just the boys. They're just coming. I know it's a lot of burden, but they're just coming in. I have a few pictures to show. Yeah, these are my boys. There are 32 boys now. If you can show another picture, the first picture, I can tell you. It's just for your idea of the tribal lifestyle. This is for your idea to understand where God is using you through us, I want to say, to take the gospel. This there's no civilization, there's no education, they speak a different language, although we're from the same state. Their language doesn't even have a script. It's called Kuvi, so it's that primitive. And the water condition, as you see in the baptism pictures, the water condition is like that. They use that water for drinking, for cooking, bathing. And we use those ponds for baptism as well. So I'd like to share a story. Sure. For 2 minutes if I have time. The last picture is, this picture. He is a Gudi Pujari, we call him. That means a temple priest. He was a Gudi Pujari. He was a temple priest. He's one of our church members now in one of the villages. He got converted recently. About him, this was when he was sharing this testimony when I went. This was in May 2023 when I went to the mission tour. He was sharing his story about how he lost his son while he was practicing his faith actively. He lost his son, and he was so angry at God because he has been so committed to the work that he had been doing all his life. You know, it's a temple priest. He does this every day, every moment of his life, and he had no comfort. He was going to God. He was angry with God that he lost his son, but then he was finding for answers. He was so confused. He was wanting peace, and then one of our pastors who went on an outreach program, he shared the gospel with him, and the Spirit of the Lord just moved in his heart, and he came to know Christ. While I was here, it's a long, long story. I don't have time now, but while I was here last 2 weeks ago, my mother went again to the mission tour, and he was asking my mother, when are you giving baptisms? So I think after I go back to India this week, we're going to have a mission tour again. The Christmas gospel mission tour, and he's going to get baptized soon, I guess. So thank God for him. And through him, he's got a lot of followers because he's the priest. Through him, a lot of his followers also know Christ. So thank you. Thanks to you for helping us do this work.
A couple of things I wanted to share. When Pastor Moses passed away, and this was such a big ministry in India, and we were not sure how this ministry was going to continue, but as in the Old Testament, after Moses, God raised up Joshua. So he raises up lots of Joshuas to carry his ministry. His ministry doesn't stop. His ministry never ends. It needs to keep going on. Second thing I wanted to share is the kids that she has shared about the 32 tribal ministries. God willing, we will be able to sponsor some of them through our I-320 program, and Brother Jonathan Smith is going to lead that, and you should be hearing pretty soon for the 2024 academic year from us. So keep that in mind and keep praying for these kids and the ministry. Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for leading that. So, Joni, how can we pray for you today?
Well, this ministry is not easy, as you know. Not many are willing to go because there's no name or fame or money that's coming from this place. But we're winning souls, so what's bigger than that, right? Yeah. So, but we stay in this place called Vijayawada. For 30 years, we have been worshiping in. I got so many needs, as you all can guess. But this one need I want to put in front of you because it's been such a burden, especially after my dad's passing. We have been gathering as a church in Vijayawada in rented places since 30 years. And it is the eighth place now that we have to shift, you know, when the lease period is over, the rent period is over. We have to keep shifting places, and there's a lot of problems associated with that. We keep losing believers. The rent is too high. 2 years ago, you shared this testimony that the Woodbridge Community Church raised, and the exact amount, you didn't know, but you raised the exact amount for the rent, and thank God for that. Thank you all for that. But the rent is so high, and we have been praying for an own place in Vijayawada that the Lord would provide us in His time, according to His riches. So I would like to ask for you to pray that we will be able to buy a place in Vijayawada so that we can build a church, because there are so many needs, but this need being met would bring down the burden of all other needs. So this is one really, really big need that I would like to ask you all to pray for. Thank you so much for this question, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joni. My next guest is our very own homegrown missionary, Keziah Motiz, from InterVarsity Long Beach. Keziah does campus ministry work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and gets to serve and love college students. She has a great opportunity to partner with God to come alongside and empower college students through the power of the gospel to be spiritual leaders and people of influence on the college campus, discipling them to lead Bible studies and create Christian community, have spiritual conversations with their peers, and invite their non-Christian friends to faith. She is currently serving as CSULB at the moment. Welcome, Keziah.
Hi, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning. I feel like I'm too far from you. Yeah. How are you doing, Keziah? Keziah or Keisha? Which one do you prefer?
You know, so for those of y'all who don't know me, I grew up in this church. I've been going to this church since I was 4 years old. And so the spelling of my name is K-E-Z-I-A-H, and I've been called Keisha my whole life. So please call me Keisha.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Keisha, where do you see God at work in your ministry?
Yes, I am so excited to share. Can we actually pull up, I know I said picture number 3. Can you pull up that picture with everyone? So that one.
Oh, wow.
So I work with college students at Cal State Long Beach. And with the Ministry of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, it is a campus ministry where, yeah, I develop student leaders to be spiritual authority and to be spiritual authorities on campus. And these were our students that went to our fall conference this past October. And these are students from all over. Cal State Long Beach is here, Cal State Fullerton, El Camino College, even students from the IE, all came together to experience God. And I'll speak for Cal State Long Beach. We got to bring 33 students to this camp. And out of the 33 students, 12 students made recommitments to follow Jesus. They all made adult decisions to follow Jesus. And out of the 12, 4 freshmen wanted to be student leaders. So it's actually super encouraging. I know with like what we're hearing today and Gen Z and all these things, like God is moving in Gen Z students. Like I just want to keep saying it over and over and over again. I get really emotional because I see them, and God is moving in Gen Z students, and God loves Gen Z students. I think just hearing all the stories of how God is meeting them so personally, meeting them through prayer, meeting them through worship, and they're just excited. There's like this growing want and desire for their friends to come to know the Lord. And can I actually go back to that first photo, Jania? Yes, so there's me on the far right, and that's my staff partner, Coral, on the far right. So what I actually do right now, too, is I lead a Bible study on the dorm, like in the dorm campus, And this was actually my Bible study last semester, actually last year. And I actually wanted to pinpoint Danny in the far middle corner over there in the brown. He was someone, as y'all know, college students, sorry, I love for college students in this room, I love you guys, but they can be very flaky. Tell them to come, they're like, I'm coming, and then no. This homie ghosted me. For those who don't know what ghost means, it's like they were talking to you and then stopped talking to you all of a sudden. So he ghosted me for 1 year. And we were talking, I thought I was building a great relationship with him, but then afterwards he just stopped talking to me. And I was like, oh, what happened? Why did he stop? But yeah, he was that typical college student that as you try to build relationship, completely falls off the face of the earth. But afterwards, he comes back and goes to a worship night. And at that worship night, the Lord just like meets him. And he just felt like the Lord tell him like, hey, like, I'm so sorry for leaving. Like, I want to come back and do something. Because he's in the dorms. He's the one meeting all of his friends and hearing the stories of all of his friends and seeing the brokenness in the dorms. And I was just like, all right, join leadership. Join us. Come lead a Bible study in the dorms where you're at. And at first he was just like, I don't know if I can do this. But I think my favorite job is always to encourage and let them know, like, hey, the Lord is with you. You can go do it. And so I actually want to show you guys the next photo. Danny's there on the right. This is who he brings to our fall conference this past October. And these are students all in the dorms. And not only that, he brings his roommate, Shuan. He's the second to the left, where I heard his story. I don't want to share too much, but basically he was going through a hard time. But at this fall conference, he said yes to want to recommit his life to Jesus. So he brings his friends. And actually can keep that photo up too. And not only that, the four in the middle. So there's the girl in green, her name is Adelina, that's Jace, that, and then a star, and then Mary. Those are the four student leader freshmen who are now telling me like they want to be student leaders. I started like this apprenticeship group with them this past Thursday, and fam, they're the ones like they're so on fire to see the Lord come and meet their peers and friends on the college campus. Like, I saw them, like, Mary, she's the one on the far right. Like, we were doing a prayer walk on campus together. And we're just like, all right, where is the Lord telling us to, like, pray for someone? She's like, I think she wants me to pray. I think the Lord wants me to pray for that person. Homegirl straight up runs to them as the person stands up and walks away. Fam, like, I just want to say, like, the Lord is working because, like, Gen Z students are bold. Like, I can't even... Yeah, so I just want to, like, share you guys the good news that the Lord is working. So, yeah, the Lord is working. And I just get to be a part of this and partner with the Lord and, like, fanning the flame in what the Holy Spirit is doing in these college students.
Thank you. Thank you. So how can we pray for you today?
Yes. Thank you for asking me that question, Sunny. When you asked me, this passage came up, like the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I think a lot of, our college students and how they are desperately in need of love, discipleship, and loving guidance. Because we now have full access to like all of the world's knowledge in our hands, and and like it's just me and like other. Anyway, how do I say this? College students are desperate for love and guidance and mentorship. And if if not us, then it will be something else. And so I would love prayer for the workers. Like, please be praying for the workers. Next semester, Coral, she's my staff partner, will be going on sabbatical. So I will be by myself at Cal State Long Beach. And I would love prayer for that. I'm actually really nervous going by myself. But I also know that the Lord is with me, and I know the Lord will bring partners along the way. So anyway, just wanted to share.
Thank you. Can you give a round of applause? Now, this was an impromptu one, so I would like to invite one more missionary, David Hess, from Operation Mobilization. And this was very important for me because he serves amongst in the Middle East. And after what we heard last week from Pastor Frank on the Israel and Hamas war, this is important that we share the gospel in that area, in that region more now. I'm going to stand, Dave. I'm fine. I've been comfortable sitting over there for the past half an hour. So can you share what God is doing in your ministry at this time?
Yeah, I would say it's interesting because we're now, after 30 years in the Middle East, we transitioned back and are based here. And so the first thing I would say is that a role that we envisioned would be our role in the future is happening now, which is where we are mentoring and inspiring, and excitingly, a number of those are former Muslims who are actually, we are mentoring them as they are actually seeing incredible fruit. Come to our table and ask my wife Natalie about a former Muslim that she mentors, that we raised up in our ministry in Kuwait, that now serves in Jordan. So she's right in the middle of all that's going on really right now. And the amount of Muslims coming to Christ, I mean, she put a new believer on the phone that has just been baptized, and Natalie's speaking to her in Arabic. Hey, just meet my mentor. And she just baptized this young Muslim gal. So come and ask about that. So that is an exciting, we live in a world where, you know, we're able to literally connect with the whole world from right here. We did just take a trip in the summer to the Middle East, and we are traveling back and forth probably once to twice a year is what it looks like at this point. I was just planning a trip, an evangelistic trip to Saudi Arabia, but all trips to the Middle East right now have been put on kind of a hold. There's something going on over there, as we're aware. But I would say the second thing is interesting, and I would encourage some of you to come to our table as well. I made a bunch of copies of an article that I wrote, because you can't make sense of what's going on in the Middle East if you don't understand what Muslims believe about the end times. We know what Christians believe about the end times, and we're hearing that all the time, but you can't understand what's going on there if you don't understand what is in the mind of Hamas and Hezbollah. And so what I did is I wrote an article, and if any of you are interested, on Friday night in Costa Mesa, Natalie and I have been invited to another church, just either through Sunny or somewhere, we'll get you there. We're actually going to talk about this in more detail. So that is a second aspect and element right now of our ministry, is training and teaching and giving a perspective that many people might not have, you know, because of our experience for so many years working with Arab Muslims. And I would say, you had said, how is God working? We are living in an unprecedented time. There are more Middle Eastern Muslims who have come to faith in the last, say, 20 years than in all of history. And we're aware, maybe even in this church, I know Persian believers that have come to faith and have attended this church. We're somewhat aware of what God has been doing with the Persians and with the Iranians. But what's happening is that Saudis are coming to faith in this hour like never before. And with a war, with a regional conflict and all that goes on, that always ends up accelerating people in a place of fear and anxiety and uncertainty crying out. And I believe, and we'll get to that if you ask me what can we pray for, I believe that what's going on right now will end up bringing an even greater harvest of lost Muslims who are going to cry out to Jesus in this hour. So if that, yeah, anyway. So yeah. I know it was impromptu that I'm doing this, so hopefully I didn't say too much.
No, you did good, great, David.
Yeah.
So how can we pray for you?
Well, I think, you know, I think that that is the prayer request, is that God, in this hour of crisis, and then let's face it, we long to see unbelieving Jews cry out to their Messiah and find salvation in Jesus Christ. And we want to see Muslims who believe that their salvation lies in a false religion and a false prophet and a false end time views. They actually believe they're going to win. That's the thing. And they're going to, again, it's going to be a devastating amount of destruction. And many Muslims, this is my prayer, is that when they see that Jerusalem is not theirs, and that the Mahdi, if they're Iranian or they're Shia, like Hezbollah, when the Mahdi, their Islamic savior, does not come and deliver them with the Islamic Jesus, who they believe will show up and deliver Jerusalem to them, that they are going to be crying out and say, why didn't it happen, Allah? And in that place, they're going to encounter the risen Christ. He's going to say, you guys have been completely walking in the dark. And in fact, in reality, it's Jesus, the God-man, who is not who they think he is, who is their savior. And I believe that not just now, we will hear the testimonies, but even in the midst of what's going on in Gaza and what's going on in southern Lebanon and northern Israel, and it's as it spreads into Syria or into Jordan or wherever else, into Iran, that many would cry out and that they would meet the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's my prayer request.
Thank you. Wow. By the way, Dave has these copies made for the article that he's talking about. It'll be in Building B when you grab your lunch.
And if you like a physical copy, take a physical copy. If you're, you know, I've got the article online, so you can just take the website as well. But and join us on Friday night, or bring your friends. It will be evangelistic in Costa Mesa on Friday night. So
great. Thank you, Dave. Can we give a round of applause to our missionaries over here? Pretty close to what he's saying, because I've shared this quite a few times, but my testimony I grew up in India. All my childhood, majority of my friends were Muslims. So I grew up amongst them. I know their culture. I know their religion. I know how they behave in and out. So it's very close and dear to me when I hear any ministry that's being served amongst the Muslims. So thank you all for sharing your stories. The reason, I'm sorry, we had like 10 or 11 missionaries come over here today, but we could accommodate only four of them. But you can see how diverse their stories are. We have Trevor over here, of course, undisclosed locations we cannot for security reasons, but the challenges he's facing and how God is working over there by using people around him, the locals, and reaching out to the unreached. We have here Joni from India, the struggle she has been facing after her father's passing away, and the burden and the responsibility she has to take forward as Joshua to lead the ministry. And for the kids who kept coming in, and now the doors open, and how we as Woodbridge Community Church can be part of supporting those children. We have Keziah over here, who does college ministry. You guys know what's happening right now in the colleges across the nation. We hear it every day in the stories, and it is important how we need more of our youth to reach out to those children. There is a purpose why I wanted the youth to be here. Pastor Vince and Pastor Frank asked me, what do you want to get out of this Mission Sunday? I want the youth to understand that we need to raise the next generation of missionaries. Okay? And for the parents, to encourage your children to go on mission trips, to be a missionary. We have heard how Allison, our own homegrown missionary, is in Europe. Keziah is among the college students. It is important that we raise up the next generation. Then we have Dave over here in Middle East, the most toughest region that you can ever reach the gospel. But you heard how God is moving in the last 20 years. And I have heard stories from other people too, how God is moving a lot of Muslims to Christ in the last 20 years, especially the Saudis. God can do miracles and has been doing miracles through our frontline warriors. And you guys are part of it. And I'm so thankful to this church for helping them, helping our missionaries on a daily basis with their prayers, with your support. The times we are living in is the reason we need to share more about Christ to others. So I want to end this with a few verses from our scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22 says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And lastly, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, as you know, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. At this time, before we end, I want to invite our remaining missionaries. So I'll be calling them, and if you guys can come and stand right over here. We have some gift bags for you. It's our tradition. The Bible says that we need to honor the servants of God. So I'm going to be handing out your gift bags. And then Pastor Vince, if you can come and pray for all our missionaries. Pat Francisco, she's our missionary in Bridges International. If you can please come. If you can give a round of applause. She serves among the University of California, Irvine region. Justin, he just stepped out. Okay, he's also from Bridges International in UCI. Gordon West, Kids at Heart, Arizona. Yeah. We got a memo that we have to wear the same shirt, yes. So thanks, Gordon. Lynn and Eric Taylor from Makanalani Kids in Hawaii is being represented by Lynn's twin sister, Terry Barber. And Pastor Dave and Joanne Beckwith, Standing Stone, Irvine. Pastor Dave was our pastor before at Woodbridge Community Church. Many of you know him. Larry and Helen Taylor from Converge. Their mission area is Southeast Asia. And of course, Terry and Lori Overcash from HHI Asia, if you guys can join them. Joni from India, Gospel Talk Charitable Mission. Keziah Mortiz from InterVarsity Long Beach. And David and Natalie Hess from Operation Mobilization. I strongly urge you guys to please join us for lunch. Grab your lunch in Building B. There's tables set over there. Each of them have their own table. Sit with them. Hear more stories. There might be more stories that they can share with you that can show what you have been part of in the gospel outreach in this world. And it is important that you hear the stories to encourage yourself and people around you. Okay? At this time, if I can get some help with the gifts that we're going to share. So this is Justin is here. Justin's not here. Dave. Thank you, Dave.
Are you inspired? You know, I've said it again and again. We may not be a large mega church, but this church has a big heart. A big heart for the world. And look at us. Look around. We are from the world. We are a very multicultural church. And God brought the gospel to each and every one of us to bring us together here and then send the gospel message out. Isn't this inspiring? You know, Woodridge Church supports over 31 missionaries and mission agencies all throughout the world, from children's ministries, feeding programs, relief in earthquake, to wars in Ukraine. We're there, and our missionaries are there, representing us, representing the Jesus that we love. So let's all stand and pray for them. I'd like you to extend a hand to them. And let's pray for them. And ask the Lord to bless their ministries. And lead them to even greater opportunities in sharing about this Jesus that we love and serve. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins, providing us a way to be reconciled with the Father. And because of that, we have this gospel message, this good news of salvation that is unlike any good news, unlike any faith in the whole world, the one true message of good news that you commanded us to share to the whole world. Lord, we want to thank you for our missionaries that we partner with. Thank you for your calling on their lives to go out and share the gospel to places and people we would most likely never encounter. But through them, we are able to reach with this good news of salvation. We support them because we believe in them. We believe in their calling from you and how you have sent them out into the world. Oh Lord, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. And we can join you in what you are doing and where you are going and whatever place you are working in the world today through them. So we thank you for our missionaries and the difference they are making for your kingdom. We pray for them and we ask that in the midst of persecution, you would give them courage. In times of loneliness, you will give them a sense of your presence. In moments of discouragement, give them hope. When in despair, give them your peace. When they have needs, grant them your provision. And when they encounter problems beyond their means to solve, give them your guidance and wisdom. When the ministry gets overwhelming at times, give them your comfort and care. May you multiply the fruit of their labor and bless their kingdom work beyond what they can ever hope for or imagine. And as you commanded us to occupy ourselves until you come, may you find us faithful to you until the very end. Lord, increase our borders. Grant that our missionaries would be able to give the gospel to many people out there, new opportunities, new doors that would open, we ask. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Lord of the harvest. Amen. 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 Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you.